I expect that most of us in this room tonight know that this old book is full of pictures, full of the most vivid pictures sometimes. And I want to talk to you tonight about one of the most serious of these pictures. And that is the subject of leprosy. I dare say most of you here have never seen a leper. I've seen many. They are the most terrible sights. You'll see them with their nose eaten off completely, their fingers and their hands gone, their feet gone. And there they sit by the roadside in their misery begging. That is the first picture that I want you to look at tonight. This subject of leprosy is God's picture of sin. There are, I believe, 21 lepers shown to us in the Bible to make up God's complete picture of sin. And some of them are very terrible. In the Old Testament, we read of, I think, 9 lepers. 3 of those were healed: Moses, Miriam, and Naaman. 2 Israelites, 1 Gentile. They were healed. And as far as we know, the other six lepers out of the 9 perished. Perished, and they might have been healed. Now, friends, you tonight to whom I am speaking, and I myself, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You and I, every one of us, even you little children, we all have had the plague of leprosy, God's picture of sin. And there is no cure for the plague of sin except God's own cure. Tonight, we've seen in the Old Testament 9 people who were lepers. 3 healed, 6 perished. I want to ask you tonight, where do you stand with regard to your sin? For you are a sinner. There's no getting away from that. You are a sinner. And unless your sin is washed away, you are going to perish like those 6 lepers shown in God's picture. Let me ask you, in all seriousness, where you stand tonight. I was going through the train a while back. I handed the conductor a tract called Saved or Lost. He took his pencil out of his pocket, and he underlined saved. And he looked at me and he said, "Thank God. It's saved." I ask you, could you do the same thing? Could you, if faced with those 2 alternatives, saved, lost, could you say, "Thank God, it's saved"? Oh, if not, terrible, terrible position you are in. There's nothing before you but destruction. Nothing before you but the lake of fire, eternal hell. Men don't like that word today. Oh, friends, it's true. It's true. There is a hell. You may not like it. You may wish to avoid it by denying it. Useless. It's useless. There is a hell. And unless your sins are washed away in the precious blood of Christ, you must perish there. Now, we go on to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we find 12 lepers. I think probably I'm right. And of those 12 lepers, how many do you think were healed? How many do you think were cleansed? Everyone. Everyone. Oh, how grand. It shows you God's heart of love. He's looking down on us here tonight. And thank God we're in the New Testament days rather than the Old Testament. And there tonight, there's the precious blood of Christ offered to you freely and for nothing. Oh, friends, that precious blood can wash your sins away this very evening. Will you have it? Will you have it? Do you suppose that some of those poor lepers down in South China, perishing in their misery, supposing someone came to them and said, here's a remedy for you. Absolutely certain. It'll cleanse you and heal you and make you into a new man. You think they would accept it? Or do you think they would put it away and say, some other time, some other time? Don't you believe it. They would gladly, thankfully, accept it right there and then. What will you do with God's offer that He offers to you tonight? A remedy for all your sin. The first leper in the New Testament that I know of, he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And will you not come to Jesus in just the same way? Come to Him just as you are in all your sin, guilt, and misery, all your uncleanness, the horrible sins that you've committed that you're ashamed to let anyone know of. Come just as you are. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And what do you think the Lord answered? I am willing. And He touched him. Be thou clean. And friends, let me tell you, were you to come? I shouldn't say were you to come. If you do come this very night, come with those words of that poor leper. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And you'll get the same answer. I am willing. Be thou clean. And he touched him. If anybody else had touched him, it would have only made them unclean. When Naaman came to get his leprosy cleansed, he thought that the prophet would come out and would strike his hand over the place and call on the name of his God and cleanse him. What would have happened if Elisha had done that? Only this, that Elisha would have been unclean too. There's only one can cleanse you and me, and that is Jesus. There's no other way, no other hope, no other Savior, but He can, thank God. And not only can He cleanse your sins, but He is willing and ready tonight. That story is told us in Matthew's Gospel. If we go on to Luke's Gospel, we find the same story, this time told by a doctor. And the doctor adds something to his story. He adds that the man was full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. Oh, unless you've seen a leper, I don't believe it would be possible for you to imagine the horribleness, the filthiness, the hopelessness of a leper full of leprosy. And that's what this leper was. He was full of leprosy. Oh, had he gone to a doctor, the doctor would have just told him it was a hopeless case. He could do nothing for him. But he came not to the doctor, but he came to the Savior, and he came to the right one. Friends, you unsaved ones here tonight, for it is to you that I would speak this evening with all the strength that I have, all the strength that God would give. Where will you be if you refuse this offer of mercy, this offer of cleansing? Tonight, he says to you, I am willing. But are you willing? That's the point. He is willing. Jesus is willing. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Jesus, Savior, can save you from your sins. And he can cleanse every spot and stain of that awful disease that you have of sin, pictured by the leper. Well, there was something else about this man that he was told to do. He was cleansed. The Savior said to him, be thou clean, and he touched him. And it didn't make Jesus unclean either, but it made the leper clean. And the same Savior is waiting for you. The same Savior is offering you the same cleansing. Question is, will you have it? Are you willing? Jesus says, I am willing. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You children, are you cleansed in the blood of the Lamb? You children, are you willing to have your sins all washed away? Washed away tonight? If you are, come to Jesus the way this poor leper came. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And you'll hear him reply, I am willing, be thou clean. But now he had to do something more. He had to go away to Jerusalem, and he had to hunt up the priest, and he had to offer an offering for getting his leprosy cleansed. So far as I know, we never hear of anyone before this having to offer that offering for getting their leprosy cleansed. This was the first one, and it was quite a complicated ritual. We look at it tonight, you and I, at this time. But he would go to the priest, and he would say to the priest, my leprosy has been cleansed. I've come to offer the sacrifice for the cleansing. Tell me what I must do. And the priest, I expect he would go to the other priests and say, do you ever remember what we had to offer for the leper being cleansed? But not one, so far as I know, had ever heard of the leper being cleansed before, and having to offer this offering. Now, I want to talk to you a little about this offering that the leper in the 8th of Matthew had to offer when he went up to see the priest. Go over to the book of Leviticus in the 13th chapter, and I'll read you just a few verses there. 13th chapter of the book of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look on him the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean, unclean. Now, I want to ask you, did that man know he was unclean? The priest looks him all over. He sees the white hairs in the skin of his flesh. He sees the swelling or the rising or the bright spot. He looks him all over. He says to him, "You are unclean. I pronounce you unclean." And friends, the great high priest in heaven, as he looks down on this company tonight, what does he pronounce you? Does he pronounce you clean or unclean? Only those two. The priest looks and he makes the pronouncement. You are unclean. There's no drawing back. There's no alternative. There's no hope. He has nobody else to whom to appeal. No court of appeal in this. You are unclean. He is unclean. What about you? What about you, my friends, tonight, who are here? If the Lord Jesus Christ comes to your side and looks at you tonight, will he pronounce you clean or unclean? One of the two. So far as I know, there'd never been a person pronounced clean from the day that Moses wrote that until the day the Savior trod the earth and made this man clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I am willing. Be thou clean. Oh, what a surprise that must have been in Jerusalem. When the man comes and tells them, "I was a leper, and I was full of leprosy, and I've been cleansed. I've come to offer the offering for my cleansing." Oh, what a surprise that must have been to those priests. But, oh friend, it needn't be a surprise to you. No, indeed, far, far from it. Here the good news is told to you in this blessed book. "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Oh, friend, what's your answer going to be? What's your answer going to be? Will you accept him? Will you say, "I am willing. I am willing to be cleansed"? And tonight you may go out of this door, your sins all washed away. You may go out of this door on the road to heaven. You may go out of that door knowing that the torment of hell will never touch you. The torment and the fire thine eyes shall never see. No, oh friends, I ask you, which is it going to be for you tonight? Saved or lost? Cleansed or unclean? Only those two. Which will it be? Now let us go on a little further. But before we go further, let me just press on you once more the way that this leper knew for certain that he was cleansed. I do not speak now of the leper in Matthew's gospel, but the lepers in the old days of Israel, when they came to the priest, and the priest looks at them, and the priest pronounces him unclean. I pronounce you unclean. Now, I want you children to think for a moment. How did that leper know for certain that he was unclean? The priest looks him all over. He sees the white hair. He sees the swelling, the rising, the bright spot. He looks him all over. There's no hurry about it. If there's any question, he shuts him up for 7 days. And if there's still a question, another 7 days. And then he must say so sadly, "You are unclean. I pronounce you unclean." Now, do you think that man, that leper, do you think he knew that he was unclean? Do you think he knew for certain he was unclean? If he went home and his neighbor said to him, "You don't look very sick. Your spot there doesn't look very bad. I don't think you're really a leper." What would he answer? Oh, he must give that sad answer. "The priest has pronounced me unclean, and I know I am unclean because the priest says so." And friends, you and I, we know we're unclean. We know we're poor, filthy lepers in the sight of God because he pronounces us unclean. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he says. And that means you and me. So we know. I found it out long ago. I was a leper in the sight of God, unclean. And there, the poor leper, he must have his head uncovered. He must have his clothes rent. He must have a covering on his upper lip. And he must cry, "Unclean, unclean." He must go outside the camp, and there he is, alone in his misery, his sorrow, and no help, no help. He's got leprosy. He's a sinner. You and I are sinners too. Have we no help? Have we no hope? Oh, thank God we have. Like the poor leper in Matthew's gospel, we may come to Jesus and say to him, "Lord Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole." And I know right well the answer Jesus will give you. He'll say, "I am willing. Be thou clean." Oh, is there not one? Are there not many in this room tonight who will bow their heads and say, "Lord Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And you'll hear him reply, "I am willing. Be thou clean." Why not have that cleansing tonight? Why not be washed and made whiter than snow tonight when you may? You don't know whether you'll ever have another chance. You don't know whether you'll ever again have the opportunity of coming to Jesus just as you are and hear his cleansing word say, "I am willing, be thou clean." Now let us go on to the 12th verse. You know, I told you this man, Luke, the doctor, wrote about. He said he was full of leprosy. And in the same chapter, we read about another man, and it tells us that he was full of sin. So in one chapter, we have two men, one full of leprosy and one full of sin. Do you know the name of the man who was full of sin? Know the name of the man who was full of sin? His name was Peter. You've heard of Peter. Well, he was full of sin. And there was another man, just a few verses away, full of leprosy. And do you know what happened? Both Peter and the leper, they both got their sins and their leprosy all washed away, all clean. I am willing, be thou clean. And he's not only willing, but he's able. He's able, too, to wash away your sins. And he's able to pronounce you whiter than snow. He's able to pronounce you clean tonight, if you will, but come to him. Come to him just as you are. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I am willing. Be thou clean. Will you have it? Will you have it? Will you take it that way from himself when he says to you, I am willing? Do you think that leper in the 8th of Matthew, do you think he said, well, Lord, I don't know whether I can trust your word or not. I don't know whether it might not just be waste of time to go away up to Jerusalem to see the priest. No, he didn't talk that way. He didn't talk that way. Don't you talk that way either. No, you take it. Take the offer tonight, the offer that he makes to you. Be thou clean. I am willing. Be thou clean. Now, go. Let us look at that 12th verse. And I want you to listen. Because I'm going to ask you children a question. If a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh. Here's the leper. He looks him all over. Looks in his, under his feet, under, on the soles of his feet. He looks on his back. Looks on his face and his head and his hair. Everywhere he looks, what do you think the priest sees? Leprosy. Nothing but leprosy. He's full of leprosy. Oh, what a horrible state. Now, go on to the next verse. Then the priest shall consider. He's looked him all over. He hasn't been able to find a place he could put the point of a pin where he didn't have leprosy. And he considered. He considered. And I want you to consider tonight. You, dear friends, are full of leprosy too. Full of sin. Now, is there any part? Perhaps you say, well, I'm better than that. I'm not like Simon Peter was, full of sin. True, I'm not as good as my neighbors. I'm not as good as some people are. But I'm not as bad either. I'm a lot better than a lot of people I know. And so the man who had the leprosy talks that way. And the priest looks him over. Oh, here's a bit here hasn't got any leprosy on him. No. Unclean. Go away. Depart. Outside the camp with you. You're unclean. Why is he unclean? Got leprosy all over him. But here's the priest finds one little spot and there's no leprosy there. And the priest says, get away. Outside the camp with you. You can't come. Why? Why? Well, let's read that 13th verse. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him what? What do you children think he'll pronounce him? What do you suppose he'll pronounce him? Here's the priest. He's looked him all over, and every speck of him, all over his feet and his body and his hands and his head, everywhere, covered with leprosy. And the priest looks him all over. He considers, and the priest shall pronounce him what? No. You look at your Bible. You look at your Bible. The 13th chapter of Leviticus and the 13th verse. Did you find it? The priest shall pronounce him clean, sure, clean. Well, well, well. You wouldn't hardly believe it, would you? Oh, I can remember the night that I was saved. But I said to myself inside, it's too good to be true. Oh, I think that's what that poor leper said. As the priest says to him, mind you, he's all covered, every speck of him. The priest says to him, you are clean. I pronounce you clean. Oh, must have sounded too good to be true, don't you think so? What about you, dear folks, here? Did you ever feel the burden of your sin on you? And here's the priest to take it all away. Here's the priest waiting to pronounce you clean. He says, yes, I know that you're like Simon Peter, full of sin. But because you're full of sin, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse away every spot and stain. You are clean, oh friend. Did you ever hear a more wonderful story than that? Don't you think for a minute that this little lad was different to other people. I expect, if I asked every one of you dear folks here tonight, that a whole lot of you would have said that man was unclean. But he wasn't. He was clean. He was clean. He was all covered with leprosy. And when a boy or a girl or a man or a woman will come to Jesus, Like the poor man came in the temple. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, friend, then he's ready to be cleansed. I used to know two boys. Used to come to a children's meeting we had. One was called Bill, and the other was called John. And they were about the worst boys that you could get. They always came early to the meeting, not because they wanted to be there in good time, but because they got that way, they could get to the very furthest corner of the room. So it was pretty nearly impossible to turn them out when they made the row. And as soon as the meeting got started, they'd start with their row. Well, one night, the meeting had been over, and they'd been extra bad. And Bill came to me. He waited till the rest of the children had gone, and Bill came, and he said, say, Mr. Willis, I think I ought to say a prayer sometime. I said to him, well, Bill, I think that'd be a good plan. Well, he said, I don't know any prayers. Are there any prayers in the Bible? Oh, yes, I said, full of them. I said, what kind do you want? Well, he said, it's got to be pretty short because I'm pretty sleepy when I go to bed at night and can't be a long one. Well, I said, most of the prayers in the Bible are short ones. I said, how would this do? God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Yes, he said, that's all right. You know that's true of me. I'm worse than anybody else. Well, I had to say to him, yes, Bill, I know that's true. So he said, is the rest of it like that? No, I said, you'd like to hear a little more? Yes, he said, I'd like to hear some more. Well, he said, I fast twice in the week. What does that mean? That means twice a week I go without my supper. Oh, Mr. Willis, I never go without my supper if I can help it. I don't think this prayer is much good for me. Is that the only kind of prayer you have in the Bible? No, I said, you have lots more. I said, here's another one. Try this. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Bill's tears came down before he could stop them. He had to put his coat up. That'll do. Wait. You know, from that day on, never had any more bother with Bill at the meetings. No, he liked to hear instead of liking to spoil the meetings. He was all covered with sin. Bill was all covered like that leper. And because he was all covered, the Lord said to him that night, Bill, you're clean. He pronounced him clean. Because he came as a poor lost sinner. Oh, what about you, dear friends? What about you, dear friends, here tonight? You unsaved ones. There's some here of you, I fear sadly, who are still unsaved. Won't you come like Simon Peter came and say, I'm a sinful man? Come like that poor leper came, full of leprosy. Come and hear the Savior say, I am willing to make you clean. Be thou clean. Oh, why not have it tonight, when you may never, never get another chance? But you do have the chance tonight. You do have the opportunity tonight to come just as you are in all your sin and misery. Now, go on a little further in the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter and the second verse. I suppose you better read the first. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. He didn't even have to go himself. He was to be brought. Somebody else brought him. And you, dear lepers here tonight, who aren't cleansed yet, I'll venture to say you've been brought many a time to the priest. I'll venture to say your father and your mother many a night have got down on their knees and cried to God to save your soul and cleanse your sins. You've been brought to the leper, to the priest. You can't say you haven't. He shall be brought unto the priest. But how could he bring him to the priest? Here he is with his clothes rent and his head bare and the covering on his upper lip, unclean, unclean, and he must stay outside the camp. How can he be brought to the priest? He can't be. But the priest can go to him, and the priest has left his throne in the glory, and he's come down into this sad, wicked world. And now, when the poor leper couldn't go to the priest could go to the leper. And so he did. He did. And he's come to seek and to save you tonight. Will you have him or not? Wilt thou be made whole? Oh, say yes, Lord Jesus. With all my heart and soul I'll be made clean. Now, go a little further. The priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean. He didn't tell the leper, you go and find two birds, alive and clean. No, he didn't do that. The leper couldn't have done that. Maybe his hands were eaten off. He couldn't have got the birds, not possibly. And so the priest commands somebody else to get those two birds, alive and clean. And do you know who those two birds are a picture of? In God's picture book, the two of them together make one picture, and it's the picture of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to be your Savior tonight. Those two birds, alive and clean, are a picture of Him. And now He shall take then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. Cedar wood is what they make king's palaces of. Scarlet is what the king's, the robes they wear. And the hyssop is the weed, the bitter weed that grows out of the wall. And they take all those things, and they take one of the two living birds, and they get an earthen vessel. It's bigger than this, like a flower pot, only bigger. And it didn't have a hole in the bottom. And they take one of those birds, here it is, they dip it inside, put it inside the earthen vessel, inside the flower pot, and they kill it. And its blood runs out into that earthen vessel. Now they take the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and the other bird that was left alive, they dip them all down into the blood of the dead bird. There the living bird comes up out of that earthen vessel, and its feathers, you're probably a beautiful white dove or pigeon, and its feathers are all marked with blood. All marked everywhere with blood. It's a picture, it's God's own picture of the Savior who came, took a body of earth, came and went to the cross, and there in that body of earth that the Lord had prepared for him, he dies on the cross. And there in his hands, when you and I see him in the glory, we're going to see in his hands the mark of those nails. We're going to see in his feet the mark of those nails. We're going to gaze on his head and on his face. And we're going to see him so marred, that means spoiled, so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. All over that blessed body, you're going to see the marks of death. On his back, there are great, great marks of the scourging, like, as he puts it, like a person plowing on his back. And there from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? That's the living bird. That's the living bird. The living bird with the blood on his feathers is a picture of the Savior going to the cross and dying there for you, for me. Oh, friend, it was all for you. Quite a few years ago, when the Japanese internment camp, used to be my job to cut the bread for breakfast. We had, I think, 1,800 slices of bread to cut, so it took quite a while. And I had a table just like this to work on. And right here was a partition, but there was a big serving window there. And I could look out, I could stand and cut bread, and could look out through the serving window. And the Roman Catholics used to have their service in the next room, so I could see all that went on. And I may tell you that I was very fond of the Roman Catholic priest. He and I were very dear friends. And this morning, it was early in the morning, before 6, the room was full of people, and he started to tell them the story. The story I've been trying so feebly to tell to you, of how the Savior shed his precious blood for him and for them. And as he told the story, tears ran down his cheeks. He was a big, tall, powerful man. And he'd reach over, reach out his hands like this, and he'd say, "And it was for you. It was all for you he did it." And so it was. Then he'd tell them a little more. Then he'd again reach out, "And it was for you. It was all for you." Friend, would God I could tell you that story the way he told it that morning. But it was. I can tell you this, and I know it's true. It was for you. It was all for you that he suffered like that. That those blood marks on the feathers of that living bird, that blood was shed for you, for you, for you. Do you care? I met the priest in the afternoon, walking along his head down his chest, looking the picture of discouragement. And I went up to him and I took his hand and I said, "Father James," or I called him Brother James, "Brother James, I want to tell you how much I enjoyed your sermon this morning." He squeezed my hand till the bones crackled, and he said, "Oh," he said, "it's all in there, but this mouth can't tell it out. And as for those people, it's nothing to them." Oh, friends, Is that what he'd have to say to you? Were he here in my place tonight? Would he have to say, and those people, it's nothing to them? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if it be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger against your sins, mine. O friends, is it nothing to you? Oh, I know, I knew those people well, and I knew the priest spoke true. There was nothing to them. And I sadly fear, tonight, the congregation in that chapel that morning, I fear they're all in hell. They're all in hell. What about you? If the Lord took you away tonight, where would you go? Where would you be? Where would you be? Would it be heaven or hell? Which is it? Oh, my friends, is it nothing to you? The Savior shed his precious blood, that he wore that thorny crown. He did it for you. You said, I don't care. I don't want it. Oh, how awful. What is your answer going to be tonight to that Savior who offers you salvation free and full tonight? Will you have it or will you not? Now we must go a little further. The priest has taken the blood, the bird, up out of the earthen vessel, and he's had the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop dipped in, and now he takes the earthen vessel, and he dips his finger in it, and he sprinkles it on the, supposing this is the leper, he sprinkles it on the leper seven times he sprinkles it there, and then do you know what he does? He says to him, you are clean, you are clean. Now, I want to ask you another question. I'm going to ask this same boy the question again. I think he can tell me the right answer this time. Did the man know he was clean? The priest says to him, the priest sprinkles on him seven times the blood. Then seven times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now he says to him, you are clean. Did the man know he was clean? Yes, you're quite right. Quite right. The man knew he was clean. What made the man clean? Was it because the priest said, you're clean? Did that make him clean? No, that didn't make him clean. What made the man know he was clean? Did he look at the blood spots and say, now, that's blotted out some of my leprosy. I think I must be clean. No, he didn't do that. He looked at that blood on his body. He looked at that blood, and he heard the priest say, you are clean. And he said, I know I'm clean. Now, do you know what he did next? He took the bird, the living bird, with the blood on his feathers, took it up in his hands, and he went over out to a field. There out in the field he took the bird and let it go out into the open heavens. Now, the man was the leper. He goes home. He's clean now. The priest had told him he was clean. So he doesn't have to stay outside the camp now. True, he can't go home to his tent, but he doesn't have to stay outside the camp. And now he goes home, and his neighbor meets him. And his neighbor says to him, why, what are you doing in here, you miserable, dirty leper? Get out of here! What does the man say? What does he think the man says? Does he say, I'm not a miserable, dirty leper anymore. Yesterday I was, but today I'm not. Today I'm a cleansed leper. Oh, don't you believe it. Look at you. Look at your
filth. Look at your dirty old clothes. You're not cleansed. You're filthy, dirty leper. No, the priest told me I was clean. Oh, no such thing. The priest told you were not clean and you misunderstood him. No, that couldn't be either. Because you know the law. The law is that the priest must let the bird fly away into heaven with the blood on its feathers before he can say you are clean. And so I know that I'm clean. I know there are three reasons. The blood is sprinkled on my filthy body. The priest said to me, you are clean. And the priest let that living bird with the blood on its feathers fly away into heaven and go up to heaven bearing the marks of death upon it. And so up there in the glory tonight, there's a man, the man Christ Jesus, and he bears the marks of death in his hands, in his feet, in his side. And that's the proof that you and I are clean. That's the proof. The living Savior in the glory. He never could have got back into heaven if he'd still got our sins upon us. His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. But before he went back to the glory, those sins were all gone, washed away. Oh, friends, and now tonight, he offers you this free and full pardon, this cleansing, that every stain and spot of sin shall be washed from you, and you're made as fit for the glory as the Apostle Peter himself, or indeed as our own beloved Savior who is there. I ask you once more, will you accept his offer tonight? Will you accept his offer? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You can say that. You know Jesus is able to make you clean, don't you? You know, if only he was willing. Oh, if only he was willing. How gladly you'd be made clean. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I am willing. Be thou clean. Does he know he's clean? Does he know he's clean? What do you think? Does he know he's clean? Yes, he does, thank God. Yes, he does. Tell me, is there somebody in this room tonight who can say perhaps for the first time, yes, I know I'm clean because the priest, my Savior, has pronounced me clean. And I can look up into the glory, and there by faith I see the man Christ Jesus with his wounds in his hands and his feet in his side, the marks of the crown of thorns on his brow. And I know that my sins are all washed away. I am clean, and I know I'm clean because God says so himself, be thou clean. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's no if about it. It's a certainty. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. My friend, will you have it? It's up to you. The Savior's done the work. The Savior offers you the cleansing tonight. And tonight, you go out of this room either saved or lost. You go out of this room tonight a filthy leper in your sin and your misery. Or you go out a cleansed leper on the way to the glory. Which is it going to be? The choice is yours. You must make the choice. God will not force you to choose, but oh, he offers you and he pleads with you. He says, I would, but they would not. I would, but ye would not. Oh, my friends, let me once again beseech you, not to leave this room tonight until you can say, through God's mercy, through the sprinkled blood and the word of God, I know I'm cleansed tonight. Shall we sing hymn number 1? Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. List to his voice so clear, now falling on thine ear. Come, wanderer, come. You who are outside the camp crying, unclean, unclean. Come, wanderer, come home. Number 1.